Welcome to Self Care with Boosie. I am today joined by my husband, and we're going to be having a chat about why we chose to move to Canada. So, thank you so much for joining live. I really want to make this an interactive conversation. So, drop in the comments and say where you are joining from. Just let me know where you're actually watching from. And I also just want to say thank you for 1,000 subscribers. Like, this is the perfect way to say hello and do the first live.
Hey, how's that? Aki.
Aki. Okay, so I think we could just jump right in. Why we moved to Canada? You can go first. Like, why did we move to Canada? Mini is watching from Pretoria.
So we stayed in Joburg.
Oh, okay. Yes. Sorry. I just thought, like, for anyone who would be watching this live, if it's the first time you're seeing it and you're watching it, maybe it's not live anymore. I just want to give a bit of a background. So we are from South Africa. We're South Africans. And we immigrated to Canada in 2019. So we immigrated to Canada in 2019, and we've been here now for a bit over 2 years. And I've shared about the journey, like our journey immigrating to Canada, just the process that we went through, and a number of other videos talking about cost of living in the GTA, just different areas and different things that we have experienced throughout the journey. And one of the questions that I've received a lot was, why did we choose to move in the first place, right? So that's what brings us to this video. So let me just say hi to a few people. Hi, Tariro, joining from Pretoria. Thank you. And we have Marx from Germany. Kulani is from Pretoria. Thank you for joining, guys. And I look forward to having more engagements and chats with you as we go through the conversation, just to hear from you guys where your thoughts are in all of these things. So, okay, moving to Canada, what brought the move about? Because a very huge part of moving to Canada, it was initiated really by him, I will say. And I have lived in Europe before, so that had a major impact on me thinking that it's a decision that makes sense for us to do. And if you can hear our kids in the background, like, about that, but they're playing upstairs. So the move to Canada, like, what brought?
So before moving to Canada, we stayed in Johannesburg, Sunning Hill to be specific. I traveled a lot. I used to work for Eskom. So I worked on sites in Mpumalanga. The majority of the sites that I worked in were in the Mpumalanga province. So I would travel a lot. Yeah, I spent the majority of the time on the road, you know, going to MLO, going to Witbank, going to Middleburg, going to, you know, the Majuba area. So I was mostly on the road, and there was a time, you know, in our complex, a person was robbed just at the gate of our complex at gunpoint. So, you know, it just hit me. It hit me hard because at the time, you know, we had Azande. He was like 2, you know. And I'm thinking to myself that, you know.
I think that robbing thing, it happened before Azande was, or wait, who was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Azande wasn't.
So, yeah, it was that, you know, I'm not around, and, you know, you used to go to the office and drive on your own.
Sorry, yeah. But check what Puleg is saying. Like, you left us in the dark, bro. It's like you left Eskom and then, like, there's no electricity. He gets that a lot. Like, a lot of people still say, like, Elang, come back to Eskom and fix the mess that you left here.
So, yeah, it was that, you know. It for me, it was never okay that, you know, hearing of someone being robbed, it didn't sit well with me that thing is normal. Mm. You know, it's not okay. You cannot be hearing of people getting robbed every day and people are okay with that. So it always was a problem for me. And I feel like by the time, you know, 2016, 2017, 2018, that's when it just hit me. Like, it wasn't a matter of people are getting robbed anymore. It was people are getting robbed and killed. You know, that was it for me. That, you know, it wasn't okay when people were getting robbed, but getting robbed and killed was just it for me.
Yeah, I know for me, the biggest, I feel like it's more especially when I would have the kids in the car with me. So it's like, okay, somebody could hijack you. Okay, they take a car. Yeah, it's not a good thing. It's not a great thing to happen. But if they don't kill you, you know, it's you're happy if you're alive. But now there were stories of people getting hijacked and their kids are in the back seats, but they don't get a chance to get their kids out. So they're thrown out the car and then, I don't know, they just never see their kids. So that became a really big fear on my end, just thinking, what if somebody could just try hijack me and then I have my kids in the car, or one of them, and they go with them and, you know, then what? So that became a very big thing. And then having lived, I lived in Amsterdam in the Netherlands in 2015. So 2015, I lived in Amsterdam. And that for me was the first time I experienced life really with no anxiety of going outside. And I was in Amsterdam by myself. Like, I didn't move with my family. So we only had one child at the time, which was around 2 years old, our oldest. And he was left back in South Africa with my husband. And I remember one of the times, like for the longest time, I would like to go jogging. Like, if I'm in South Africa and I want to jog, usually I'm doing it with him if it's like going on the road outside. I never went outside jogging by myself. Like, the times that I would try, it was always just like, okay, that was a really bad idea. You shouldn't have done that. So for the longest time staying in Amsterdam, I was like, okay, I really want to go jog, because I wasn't like, I didn't have a gym membership or anything. And the road, it's free to just get on the road and run. But I was scared. Like, for the longest time, it took a couple of months until I actually did do it. And I was like, people actually can mind their own business. Like, nobody's going to try and hassle you or do funny things, like try touch you without your permission, or, you know, all of the funny things that you will experience living in South Africa as a female. And there's a video that we made on I posted it on my IGTV. I have the tab open here. Let me see if I can share screen. So just to show, I'm not going to play the clip right now, but this clip, if you are following me on Instagram. So on this clip, I go through, like, you know, those things where people will say, put a finger down if this has happened to you, put a finger down if that has happened to you. So I compare my experience living in South Africa, living in the Netherlands, in Amsterdam, and then living here in Canada. And when I was making those videos, I was really making the questions that I was asking in those videos, I was making it more from a female perspective. And then Tammy just thought, just to show the difference also in how being a male in these different countries, and especially South Africa, being a male in South Africa versus being a female, how different we experience certain things. So if you do want to see what that looks like, I just wanted to show that so I can highlight it to you, and you can go and check it out just to see those differences. So safety was really one of the biggest things, like one of the biggest things that made us want to move from South Africa. It was safety. We had kids, and I feel like as much as we cared about our safety when it was, like, you know, just us, a lot of the times it was like, I don't know, I feel like it's a bit more when there's kids involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the changes. Like, kids for us changed a lot.
Yeah, like I said, for me, it was that, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm quite tall. I believe I'm a bit bigger. I'm not really, you know, I wasn't really concerned for me, but my main concern was you and the kids, you know. I remember there was a time where you were really frightened that there's a guy who banged on your window while you were waiting at the robot.
Yo, you know, I had a lot of those things.
I never had those. Like, I would have my window down at the traffic light and no one would bother me.
And but you know how crazy.
Every time you come home, you'll tell me stories like that.
And there was times, like, I don't know if you remember, but there were times where I don't even know where we'd be coming from, but we'd have to use two cars sometimes. Maybe we had to drop a car off or
Yakumbula. Oh, yes.
So there would be times where we're driving together, but we're in separate cars. So I'm following Tammy for example, or he's following me, like whatever. But he would be, there was a time I remember he was in front of me at a traffic light. And then this guy just comes along, you know, the people who will like generally ask for small change or whatever. So they come to him, his window was open. It was summer, his window was open. My window was closed because I think I had aircon on or whatever, but my window was closed. So this guy comes, you know, and I guess he said, no, he doesn't have anything. Respectfully, yeah. The guy's like, no, you know, thank you, Khrotman, whatever. And he starts walking. When he gets to my window is closed. The guy is banging on my window for me to open. I'm just like, where do you get off? Like, you couldn't do this to somebody whose window was open to try and force them to engage you in some way or whatever. Yeah. And why is that? Just because I'm female, I'm supposed to be treated in such a super, super different way. So that was reason number one, right? So safety, and then you start seeing so many other things, and having also experience living somewhere else, you know that there is better that exists out there. And if you look at the comment that Mox left, it says the crime levels in SA are really sad as they aren't being addressed at all. I left SA 13 years ago. I wish everyone can experience living somewhere else. And I honestly agree with that.
Yep.
The moment you experience something different, that's when you start seeing things that were normal to you. Yeah. They were normal to you, and that's just it. That's how life is. I remember growing up, I think I was in primary school, definitely, but I lived, my parents' home is in Katlehong, for those of you who know where that township is. And I was going to school in Primrose, so I had to catch two taxis to get to school. My school was in town. And one of the mornings I'm going to school, going to catch a taxi, and there were guys that literally held somebody at gunpoint and robbed him of things that he had. I was so scared. I'm like, do I go back home or do I carry on going to school? Because if I go home, what if they follow me? And then it's just, but it's like things like that are just not normal. No child who is in primary school or whatever, you could even be in university. There's no child that has to go through such a thing. It just, it's crazy.
And just to add, baby, I can see there's some questions on the comments. We will get to those. We'll try and answer as many as we can.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw the one about property as well. I'll definitely go back to it.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that was number one, safety, super, super big thing. And then you start researching about different countries and, you know, what's possible out there. And then you also realize that there are places where, so in South Africa, for example, if you want decent healthcare, you kind of have to have medical aid. You have to have medical aid or have a lot of cash if you're not going to have medical aid that you can afford to pay for private healthcare. And that's where you get to do things a lot easier. You don't have to wait in queues. Your life is just a bit easier if you are on medical aid or you have the money to pay for certain medical related costs that might come up living in South Africa. And then you look at a country like Canada, which now ties into like why Canada, because I mean from a safety perspective, Canada is definitely much, much safer than South Africa. That's not to say there aren't things that Canada also can fall short or on. It's not 100% safe. It's not like nothing ever will ever happen to you, but it's just lower. The crime rates are lower. But from a healthcare perspective, in South Africa, just to get really basic healthcare is not easy. It's not the easiest of things. You have to pay an arm and a leg just for really, really basic healthcare. And one of the plus sides of Canada is the fact that basic healthcare is free. And I say free with quotation marks because, I mean, taxpayers' money fund the healthcare system. But that's one of the things where you see that your tax money as a tax-paying citizen or tax-paying resident, you see where your money is going. So you're getting charged tax, but you can actually see where that money is going. And if I look at South Africa, like almost tax is high. Tax is so high in SA. Like you could be taxed like 40%. Nah?
Yeah.
That's almost 50% to me. It's like you're taking almost half of my salary, but I still have to worry about my safety. I still have to figure out what I'm doing from a healthcare perspective. If I want decent schooling for my kids, I have to pay for private schools because chances of you getting very decent education for your... I mean, it's one of those things. Like I went through the public schooling system, you went through the public schooling system, and we went through public schooling systems in very different parts of South Africa. So even our experiences are very, very different.
Yeah.
And I mean, it works. It works to an extent that you can still go to school, manage to get to university, and but you just have to jump through so many unnecessary hurdles, I think, going through the public schooling system. And there's a lot of things you're also not exposed to going through the public schooling system. So yeah. A lot of people end up, especially in the middle class, I'd say, you end up having to pay a lot of money to get your kids in like decent school. Yeah. So let me just read some of the comments.
I think there's do you want to go up a bit?
This one?
I mean, the first one, so you'll... Oh, Pauline.
Yeah, I went through.
I'm sorry, Pauline. I had to go.
Leave you in the dark. Let me just see this
one. So there's one about...
So I live in Primrose now. Let me tell you something. Nowadays, people are breaking into houses in broad daylight. It's so traumatizing. Yeah. Imagine you have an alarm system and electric fence, but you're... Yeah, it's crazy. And the one thing for me that was crazy when we moved to Canada, it took so many months to get used to... From like going from our front door, I think I have this in one of the videos. I can't remember which video it is now, but going from our front door to the street, there's no barrier. And our front door is glass. The previous house that we stayed in, including this house, the front door is like, it has glass on it. There's no burglar bars. There's no fence around the yard. There's no electric fences. Like, you literally can walk from the street to the door. If you order something for delivery, as an example, they just drop it at your door. Like, the delivery person will stop outside, put it at your door. Nobody comes and steals things off your front door.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
To add on that comment, I think I was with you when Sabelo told us about a story where he woke up in his house and there was a guy standing next to his bed. He had electric fans. He had an alarm system.
I don't remember.
Yeah. That it's just, how do you wake up with someone standing next to you, right in your bedroom, when you have an alarm system, you have security at the gate, you have security patrolling the estate, you have all those systems, but you still wake up with someone, in your bedroom. So it's a sad reality that people have to live, in. It's sad. I couldn't take it.
Yeah. Okay, so Sheldon is asking, what influenced your choice of province or city? So I remember when we were trying to figure out where exactly we're going to stay, we looked at the industries that we both work in. So I'm in IT and he's a mechanical engineer. And then we were like, okay, which places are we more likely going to get and get access to more opportunities? So we looked at Calgary, for example. There are a lot of, and we looked at mainly headquarters, because I mean, companies can have their headquarters here and have branches in other places. But we looked at places that have a lot of headquarters for IT companies that I could potentially work for. And then we looked at companies that he could potentially work for. He was interested in the power gen space still, to get into that. And then we were looking at Calgary. We looked at, we looked at Alberta. We looked at Ontario. We looked at British Columbia also at some point. And then we ended up settling or deciding on Ontario, because we thought we would like to have somewhat of a similar life experience to Johannesburg. So we were used to the life in Johannesburg, and we thought Toronto, being like super close to Toronto, is what would give us something that's quite similar to Johannesburg. And I think from that front, it's quite similar.
I think it was a good choice, and having lived here, it's still, I would say, it's still the Joburg of Canada.
Yes, Toronto is the definitely Joburg of like the Joburg.
If you're used to the Joburg life, fit in.
Yeah, it won't be hard to try and get used to the way that the way of life is here. So let me just go back and go to the property question before I forget. So did you guys own property in South Africa? If so, did you end up selling when you immigrated, or you are renting it out? We did own property and we sold. We chose to sell. When we were still staying in South Africa, there was a point where we had two properties and we were renting out one property. But the hassles that you have to go through with having someone renting your place, it was like, we're in the country and this person can like give the runaround with certain things in some months, and we're in South Africa. So how much more?
We just thought it would be
added stress that's unnecessary if we had to deal with somebody who's renting our place and we're not even in the country. And there were challenging things when we were in South Africa having someone who rents. So we had property, but we decided to sell when we decided to move. Okay, and then Sebastian is asking, living as a PR in Canada means you lose some of your benefits in your country of origin. What do you mean by benefits? Can you please clarify that question, Sebastian? But basically, if you're a permanent resident in Canada, or even when I lived in Amsterdam, I was a permanent resident there, I'm still a citizen of South Africa. So we are still South African citizens until such a time where we say, okay, we can apply for citizenship here in Canada. Then we could have maybe dual citizenship, or we say we're totally giving up being citizens in South Africa. But it's just, you can't reside in two places. So I'm a South African citizen, we're South African citizens, but we reside in Canada, Or do you know what he could be meaning maybe by benefits?
Sebastian, maybe can you just clarify what you mean?
Because we're still South African citizens. We are just permanent residents of Canada. So things like, for example, paying tax. If you would have any salary or money you're able to make in South Africa while you're living in Canada, you would still have to pay tax in South Africa for that money. And then living here in Canada and you're working here, so you're outside of, they have their time frames. Like, you need to be considered someone who does not reside in South Africa, you need to be outside of the country, I think, more than 90 consecutive days or things like that. But we stay in Canada, we work in Canada, we pay tax in Canada, and we're still South African citizens. I don't know which benefits you are.
I'm seeing that comment by TM at the top.
The scary thing that is happening now are the CIT/cash and heist robberies. Like, how is, is it become? It's becoming a norm. That's true.
You know, that's the thing that just doesn't sit well with me in South Africa. That things that shouldn't be normal
are normal.
People get used to things that no one should be getting used to.
You know, and you get used to them because you haven't experienced any better. You haven't seen any better. You don't.
So it's that thing that, you know, a robbery at gunpoint. When somebody tells you about it, it's nothing, you know, that people get freaked out. They're used to it. And I saw this online. I think it was on Twitter. People were sharing these cash in transit heists, and it was a normal thing. People would be, you know, surrounding that incident, the crime scene, and I don't know. It's just not normal to me. I don't think it should be normal to anyone. But
yeah,
people are used to it, and people just, you know, it cannot be correct that it's your everyday life or it's happening every week or every month. It's wrong, and it's.
Yeah, this comment from DW, it basically is talking about the things that we also mentioned, like safety, you get taxed, you have to pay for your own safety, school with private schools, healthcare with medical aid. And then the public transport is also a very big one, because in South Africa, there's literally, it just doesn't make sense for us in any case, the types of jobs that we even had. It didn't make sense to not have a car. So say I'm going to use public transport. Maybe you have customer meetings or whatever your day would look like. It just didn't make sense. But here in Canada, we have similar jobs to what we had in South Africa. But you can use public transport and it works and it's reliable. And it's not, I've used taxis in South Africa for the longest time. Like, I grew up with taxis, and it's not a form of transportation that would make sense for me to say, if you work, don't buy a car and then use taxis and you're going to be able to do everything that you need to do. Just doesn't make sense. And then Uber, I never really got to really use Uber a lot in South Africa. I didn't, but I can imagine the costs that are associated with using something like Uber for basic getting.
So maybe if I may add on that comment. So he's talking about police and ADT. Okay.
So it's like so there's you get taxed, yeah, and the police are getting paid, and then you need ADT on
yeah,
top of
so
it.
So that's the nice thing about, you know, Canada is that you don't need ADT.
You could get it if you wanted. I've seen like it exists. ADT exists, but
really,
like,
there is no need. You don't need it. So ADT would be out. The schooling, I understand. We have two boys, young boys. The schooling, private schooling in South Africa is expensive. I totally understand that, and that cost is gone. Comparing to what the school that our son went to in South Africa, which was a private school, to where he is right now, it's a public school.
From a facilities perspective,
there's no comparison.
Extracurricular perspective, so many things. Like
there is much more value in what we're getting now than what we were getting.
It's like our tax money. We see
exorbitant amount.
Our tax money is doing things for us as people who are paying tax.
The schooling, the healthcare, we don't have to pay for, you know, exorbitant prices for medical aid, and what else. The transport is great. You know, you can take a train, you know, you can take a bus. There is a working public transport system.
So Ellison says, kindly break down the taxes, as I've heard you got two taxes. No, so we only pay tax in Canada because that's where we're generating in any income right now. So I was saying, if you would move to Canada, but you still have something, maybe a business or whatever, that's generating income for you back in South Africa, you would have to pay tax in South Africa and then pay tax here if you're generating income here. So that's what I was saying. I wasn't saying we have to pay tax two times. So I think, guys, just to keep everything to the topic of today on why the move, why Canada? Questions like, you know, how long did it take to, so like, Deborah, you ask, how long did your express entry application take to be finalized? And I'll answer this one, but like, can you please just try keep the questions to today's topic? And I'm really open to having different discussions, different lives. Like we can have lives in the future, but other topics, and we focus on that. So express entry process, how, like, the entire process
before
we get the invitation to apply. Anyway, like the entire process for us was like 14 months.
It could have been shorter.
Yeah, it could have been shorter, but we were delayed. Yeah. So
we used an agent, which was
a terrible idea.
Terrible. Yeah, it didn't work. So, you know, it's all things. It's easy to talk when you have hindsight, right? So we got to know more about the process after having to, you know, basically do our own research, because our agent was basically useless. So we had to do things on our own.
And even tell the agent, this is how this is going to work. Like, we're not going to
do it. So it ended up taking way longer than
And the crazy part is, the reason also why I always say to you guys in my videos, go to the Canadian government's website. They have everything that you need on there. Yeah. It got to a point for us, it was like they would tell us to do something, and we have to go reference what the Canadian government is asking for.
Yeah.
And we're basically asking
to our agents.
Yes, and we're asking them, can you substantiate or give us a reason why you want us to spend this much amount of money doing all of these other things
that don't seem
to be necessary from the government's perspective. So we had to push back on a lot of things which delayed our entire process, and that's why for us it ended up taking 14 months. It can take much less.
In my view,
it
can take less than 6 months.
Yeah, it could definitely take.
Because when we submitted after the ITA, we got our response within 2 months.
Yeah, it was so quick. Like, it was so quick after we got the invitation to apply for permanent residence. Like, we were expecting it to take much longer, but it came faster than we expected. Yeah. So Aki is saying, hi, Busi, would you consider Canada now as home? And do you think you can be happy for years more ahead? Definitely. Like, I mean, South Africa will always be home in the sense that, you know, that's where I was born. That's where we were born. That's where the majority of our family is. We have a lot of friends still in South Africa, but Canada is home. Like, I consider Canada home. Like, and we've only been here for like four months.
Yeah.
A bit over 2 years, but I feel at home. I definitely feel at home. I miss South Africa, but my missing of South Africa is more missing people. If I could gather every single person and just bring them over to the side, I think that would complete everything for me and not make it something that I'm like, yeah, I wanna maybe go back to South Africa. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm probably okay in Canada.
I'm good. I'm also good.
You know, I don't have to worry about things that I shouldn't be worrying about.
Mm-hmm. You know, crazy. Like, it's like some days I'll think to myself, if it's nighttime and stores are still open, maybe they're closing at 9 or 11, depending on what shop it is. There's times where I remember back in South Africa, I would never dream of leaving the house when it's dark outside. Even if I want to go to the supermarket to buy something, maybe we forgot to buy bread or whatever, but something we'll need for the next morning. There's no way I would have been like, let me go out and go buy it by myself, because I didn't feel safe. And I can just imagine if you're a female and you stay by yourself and you don't have the choice of, you know, telling somebody else, let's go. Maybe you end up having to call a brother or your father, but some people don't have that luxury of having a male person very close to them. But here, dude, like, I can just be like, if he doesn't want to maybe leave the house for whatever reason, or I'm just like, I'm going to the shop and I'm not, you know, I'm just like, I'm going to the shop, I just need something super quick. We don't all need to get dressed and leave the house. Like, I can go to the shop and I feel safe. I feel safe driving by myself, going to the store to get something when it's super dark outside. And I'm pretty sure for you, you're not thinking you're going outside by yourself.
No.
Like, you're going outside by yourself. So yeah, we definitely love Canada. So this one, can you share, Mox is asking, can you share the route to citizenship in your case? Looks like in Canada. So that's one of the benefits, I would say, of coming to Canada and getting your permanent residency here, if you are looking to get citizenship in a different country. So in Canada, you would have to live in Canada for 3 years. If you have permanent residency, you have to live in Canada for 3 years. And after 3 years, you are then eligible to apply for citizenship. And then I can't tell you like the step-by-step process. I know you have to write some exam.
Yeah.
You have to write an exam to get citizenship. And there might be other things that go into it. But when we do get to that stage, I'll definitely share on what we go through and how that process looks. But in Canada, you have to stay for 3 years. And you will be good. Oh, Ellison, like this one. If you get paid 2,500 CAD, I have no idea.
that would depend on.
It depends on so many things. Even so, it depends.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say with the tax. So in Canada, depending, it's not like South Africa where just, you know, the entire country has tax brackets for different salary ranges. And if you're in this bracket, you're taxed 20%, 30%, 40%, however that looks. In Canada, different provinces have different tax rates. That's the term. So it's also one of the things you should look at if you're looking to move to Canada, which if that's one thing you think is super, super important to you, maybe you don't want to pay a lot of tax. You could also just look at provinces that have less tax than other provinces. So it really depends on the province that you're in. It's going to depend on the employer that you're in and all of these. Even that, I think, is going to be very like those pension amounts where you have an amount you contribute and the employer contributes something. It's going to depend on where exactly in Canada. Yeah,
it depends on the province. You get taxed twice. So you get taxed by the province and then you get taxed by the federal government.
Yes, yes. So that one really depends on where you are. Yeah, I totally agree with this one. TM, it's like your initials.
Oh, yes.
Canada is my number one pick because it offers a straight pathway to permanent residency and citizenship. Yeah, it's honestly one of the straight ones. I have a colleague, somebody I worked with when I still worked in South Africa, they lived in Dubai for like 12 years. they had their child while living in Dubai and their child was 9 years old, but chances of them ever being considered, even the child that was born there, for them to ever be considered a citizen was like, not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. Okay, let me just scroll through some of the... Okay, so let's see. Dikeledi says, I actually want to move to Canada, but only have a national diploma in electrical engineering specialist in medical equipment. So why do you say, but only have? Like, do you think that's a problem or it's something that makes it not possible for you to move? Like, why do you say, but only have a national diploma? So on this one, I'd say, again, you know, the famous answer that I give in a lot of my videos, like check the Canadian government's website. So canada.ca, and then you'll click English, and then you will go to have a look at the different programs. But I say under Express Entry, there's the skilled worker one, yeah, that will have its requirements. There's the skilled trades one, and there's a third one. I think the third one is the Canadian experience one. Nah?
Yeah.
But whether you have a diploma or it's a degree, like there are options available. It's not like they are only looking for people with degrees. You could be someone who's a welder, as an example. They are looking for skilled yeah, people. So you could also be someone who's a welder. You have whatever certifications in that field. There's a way for you to be able to move. You could be someone who maybe you're a cook. I don't know, you're a chef. There's a lot of different options. So honestly, always say the best place for you to look if you just want to figure out what or if you qualify or whatever, just go to the Canadian government's website. So yeah, like there's options. So I'd say just check the website out. And
then the one below it as well by Ukabel. I think the answer is the same.
Do you think there's a chance to get PR through the Express Entry with less than 3 years work experience? Yeah, I think so.
It is.
I'm just trying to think. Yeah, like check the Canadian government's website, because I can't remember a lot of things from the top of my head in terms of how long they're looking for with experience. But there's a lot of different programs that you can definitely look to. Did you consider moving to other countries similar to SA, or was Canada always where you wanted to live from when you decided to leave SA? No, definitely not. Like, we looked at other countries. We definitely considered other countries. We considered Europe. We considered the US. Oh, he considered the US. So, I think you like the US. Like, you considered the US. The US for me is like, I don't know. Like, yeah, no.
I like Europe more. So you stayed in Europe. In 2015, I went there to visit every now and then, and I really, really loved the way things were done. And
I also loved Europe. You know, I think the biggest thing for me with Europe is, having lived in Amsterdam for a year, it doesn't make sense for me to go and settle in a place that doesn't have English as that main language. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I'm not trying to go and learn another language from scratch at this point in my life. And I'm not an English speaking person, like natively, you know. My parents are not English, and I had to learn the English language as that language that I use for communication over and above. And as much as I'm open to learning new languages, but not to a point where you're signing leases, but those leases, for example, are in Dutch. Yes, they give you a translation, but they say in the translation, should there be any dispute, the Dutch version is going to apply. But when you look at the Dutch version of it, literally, it means nothing to you, you know? So those are the things where I was like, for me, it doesn't make sense. Because even basic things like my bank, online banking, my online banking was in Dutch. How difficult is it, honestly, to have two views? Like, if somebody, like here in Canada, if you're French versus if you speak English, because those are the two main languages they speak, they cater for the English speaking side. And I've never stayed in the more French, the areas that are more French, like Quebec. I've never stayed there. And maybe someone who stayed there might have a different experience. But I feel like Canada makes an effort to, you know, have platforms that are both, that you can have a view in English and in French. But my experience in Amsterdam was just like, I really love the city, I love it. Like, I would totally stay there if that language side of things wasn't a I have to now figure out all of these things that have so much to do with my life in a different language. I don't know. That part for me didn't make sense. And then looking at places like Australia, for example, I know a lot of people will say, Australia, you know, even like the weather is very similar to South Africa. So, you know, you could just go to Australia. I never really want to say I'm going to go to a place just because it's similar to something I already know. And we visited a number of places around the world. Like we visited a lot of places, and Canada was not one of those places that we visited. I think that's the other crazy part when people here, we had never been to Canada. We only saw Canada online. YouTube videos. Like we read about Canada, we saw it on YouTube. And we decided that it was the country that made the most sense for us when we looked at it. So we definitely looked at other countries, but I never, because a lot of times, even when I speak to people who they either know somebody who's moved to Australia or they were in the process of moving to Australia, one of the most resounding things that I always would hear is, it's so similar to South Africa. And I'm like, but like, do you really want to move to a place that's, I don't know, like to me, it just didn't make sense that it didn't make sense. So Sebastian is saying, you see, my wife Doreen is asking about cost of living in Canada, especially in the GTA. So I do have a video on the channel talking about the cost of living. And the title of the video is Cost of Living in Canada. And it's specifically about the GTA because that's where we stay. So I would totally suggest that you go in and find that video and have a look at that video.
Oh, the one after that is very interesting.
Did you know anybody living in Canada before you moved to Canada? Robbie, we did not know anybody. We didn't know anyone. We still don't know. people that we know now are people that we met here. And it's interesting. It's just one of those things that are like super cool, I think, to happen. When we were going to register our oldest in school, because our youngest still needed to go to preschool at the time when we first arrived. So we're going through that process of getting our kids registered, and they have to do assessments with them. And I'll definitely make a video about that process of getting your child registered for school, because I know people have asked how that looks. But we met the lady that was assessing OA to our oldest child. She was from South Africa. She moved to Canada with her husband, and they had been in Canada for 24 years. And when they came to Canada, they had two kids just like us, and they were at the same age. It was like their age when they moved was similar to us. Their kids' age when they moved with their kids were similar to our kids. So it was so, so, so cool. And we're still in contact with them, like even now. So because of COVID and the lockdowns, we haven't gotten to see them a lot in person, but we video call and chat. But nope, from knowing anyone, we didn't know anyone. We knew each other. So Beauty says, I'm interested in moving to Canada. Where can I find work that can sponsor my visa? Any website suggestions? Also, which areas do you like best in Canada as Black South Africans? So from a work perspective, honestly, I'm not sure what the prospects look like for finding. It's possible. I mean, because of these programs that exist, and they say, okay, there's provinces. So the province specific programs, those you can look for work and you find work and then get a work visa after finding work. We didn't go through that process. So the place that we know to look for jobs is LinkedIn and Indeed. Those are the two places.
I think, with this community, there's people that are hopefully going to join and share their own experiences.
Yes, so that's definitely...
There is people that, you know, being here and having met some people, there's people that managed to get jobs while they were still in their home countries.
Yes, you know, they are.
How they went about it, we don't know.
Yeah. So we do have a community. It's called the BUCG Fam. And it's on Mighty Network. So if you see the banner just going past, the link for you to be able to join that community is in the description. So I started that group just wanting to bring people together. So being able to bring all of you together, you can ask questions there. Because I mean, I went through the process, the express entry process for skilled workers. I can share on that and I can share on different things that I've experienced. But there's things that people will ask that I don't know, like I can't answer. So in that group, I know there's a lady on there. Can't remember her name now from the top of my head, but she shared that she got a job and she's moving through one of the provincial programs. I think she's going to Nova Scotia, if I remember correctly. But it's things like that. Then she shared some of the process and what she had to go through. She shared some of that process and what she had to go through when looking for that job. So I would also say join the community. Join the community, engage in there, speak to each other, comment on people's posts, and also post your own journey. So say, maybe I'm still looking to move to Canada, but I don't know, like I'm confused about this. And then somebody is going to know, you know, something. There's currently, I think 50 people. I'll say 50 people right now. I think I welcomed three more this morning. So there might be 53 now. So the family is growing, but it's a space that I want you guys to be able to come in and share your own experiences on, ask questions. I'm not always going to have the answers to things because there's so many ways to come to Canada and I only experienced one. So on the one that I did experience, if I know something or I've heard of something or he hears of something when he's speaking to different people, he'll also like add and, you know, we'll add resources there and things that you guys find, but please engage with each other. And I think there might be someone on the group, if you could ask maybe this question in the group, who would say, this is the website that I used to find work. Like for us, we used LinkedIn and Indeed. And I have a video on the channel on that if you're watching this and maybe you missed that video. Yeah, and then this one, lastly, can you please tell us what websites we can look at and apply for visas for Canada? So like work visas or
it's,
like
it's the Government of Canada website.
Or travel, yeah. Like I think check the Government of Canada's website and they will state places that are like official places. And the reason why I always say go to that website first, it's also to protect you. There are people out there who are scammers who will say, call this number, send an email here, do this on that website, pay X amount of money, and we're going to help you with the visa. We'll help you with this. It's going to be a super fast and easy process. You are likely going to get yourself in a position where you're getting scammed if you're not verifying on the website. So even if you're using a consultant or an agency, go check on the website, the canada.ca, and then go to the immigration section. You'll find like, you know, where to look if you wanna verify if somebody is recognized by the government as somebody that works with them or not. So even with places that you'd have to go, start on canada.ca. Like don't just go to random links that people will post. I've seen people try post links with like numbers and random emails on some of my videos here on YouTube, and it's not, I'm not always going to catch those, and maybe even YouTube's own system of checking things that might be spam, they might not always be able to catch it. So just because you see a link under one of my videos or anybody else's videos that are sharing their experience, don't just click on videos just randomly. So canada.ca, best place, one-stop shop, and then join the fam as well. Join the Boosie G fam. The link is in the description of this video and I'll add it to all of the other videos that I've uploaded. I'll update them and add it and future videos. And you could potentially find someone who's gone through that process already and they can just direct you. But I also still say, go and check on canada.ca just to make sure that it's legit. So Kabelo says, yes, the language barrier is a nightmare. I'm 4 years in Germany. And language still proves to hinder my progress a great deal, hence my desire to move to Canada. No, I feel you. I feel you. Like, that's one of the things I definitely saw. Yeah, it was going to be a struggle. You could really love the place. You're like, I'm okay with the place. Love it. But when it comes to language, it's like, I've already, you know, tried to meet so many people in the world halfway with English, like learning English. And, you know, can we just find a way of communicating on that part? So Willie says, thank you for the informative session. Can you touch a bit on retirement planning? So, like similar to how in South Africa,
it's similar to South Africa, yeah. There's different options. So there's options with, you know, via your employer, and then there's insurance companies that would have, you know, different, even banks. It, I'd say it's similar to what we
similar
have in
South to Africa. South Africa, and then yeah. You could also potentially open your own accounts. Like you have your own, maybe you open an RRSP that you put money into every single month or however, you know, frequently you want to do that to save for your retirement. Yeah. But it's quite similar really to South Africa. It's like it's either through an employer or you're paying another company, third party company, or you're opening and trying like and saving your own money or investing in certain stocks, like specifically for your retirement on your own. So it is quite similar. So Kulani says, looks like housing is extremely expensive in the GTA. How are people surviving? Yeah, like the prices of houses have been shooting up. Like it's so crazy. The last at some point I saw there was a house that sold $500,000 over asking. Yeah. And it's crazy.
So the housing is market is very interesting right now at this stage in the Ontario province. I've been following it a bit on the news and it's shooting up. Like people are bidding, like almost everyone is selling higher than the asking price.
We can make a video about that. Like every single sold sign, like you know when houses are for sale, they'll put a sign and say for sale, and then when it's sold they put a sticker that says sold. Here it's like sold, and then underneath they'll write over asking, and then some people will add prices like 100k over asking, 80k over pricing. The highest I've heard so far is 500k over pricing. And honestly, I can't say people are surviving. I think a lot of people are just not buying, like people are renting, like because it's such a high amount to expect people working normal everyday jobs to be able to go buy a house.
So what is happening? People are ending up moving up north. So right a lot of towns in the north, they're still very cheap. So I mean, the further you go from Toronto, the price starts dropping. So a lot of people are moving up north,
especially right now with COVID. A lot of companies since last year, March, have had people working from home. So people who have been working from home since then, it's either some employers have said, we're not going back to the office, so you're going to be working from home indefinitely. And then other people are just kind of deciding for themselves. I know of a couple of people who are just like, I've been at home for a year. It doesn't make sense for me to pay X amount of money to rent a smaller place when I could move to a place that's further to the office and then be able to get like a much bigger place. So people are definitely considering places that are outside of the GTA. But from a buying perspective, I think it's crazy. It's really, really crazy. Sebastian is asking, so what about car insurance in Mississauga or Oakville? So on that, I'd also say it's quite similar to South Africa. It depends on the area that you're in. So at different areas, even provinces are going to look different in terms of what insurance looks like. But I can't say it's going to be more expensive here or more expensive there because I don't know what their zonings look like exactly.
Yeah, it works with the zoning.
Yeah. So it definitely, there are areas that you know, maybe if you go to Milton, for example, they'll say you're going to pay a lot more on car insurance than you would in other places. And
just to add on this, it's crazy that, you know, between Mississauga and Oakville, so there's like a road that separates.
It's just one of those things you wouldn't even know. It's like I'm in Oakville now, I'm in Mississauga now. Like,
and then
there's no distance or difference. Like
Just like, so what happened with COVID now with all the shutdowns?
Crazy.
There was a place where just on the other side, because it belonged to the Mississauga part.
They were closed.
And then the other side of the road, it's Oakville. All the businesses were open. And
tell me what sense that makes. So there was a time where we didn't have a province-wide lockdown, and they only locked down places that had higher cases than others. And Mississauga was one of the places that had higher cases. So they locked businesses in Mississauga, had to close. And that particular area is like literally a street.
Yeah.
You could be standing on the street, businesses on the side are not allowed to open, businesses on the side are allowed to open, but it made sense to somebody in the government. So from an insurance perspective, I don't want to make assumptions and say you're going to pay less if you're in Oakville because, I don't know, it's Oakville. I honestly don't know, but it definitely will differ depending on zones and how they mark certain zones. But it's very similar to how it works in South Africa as well. So Makosa Zana says, I have traveled to most part of the world and truly love Europe, especially Frankfurt in Germany, but it will not be practical for my kids and I due to language barriers to move there. Yeah, there's places in this world that I'm also just like, for visiting purposes, by all means, go for it. Like it's so, so, so great. And she's also saying she's going to be completing an MBA in June. Whoop, whoop. I'm planning the application process in July. Oh, I'm excited with you. So excited. You should like just keep us posted on how things are going. Oh, you are all so, so, so welcome. You are all so welcome. I think we covered everything that I wanted to say. Tariro, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. He says, hi, Boosie. Why Canada and not Amsterdam, considering you already had PR there? Also, what other countries? We already touched on this already on the video. So we're going to be saving the video, which you can definitely go back and watch on that. But just in a nutshell, not Amsterdam and Canada is a language largely due to language. Like language thing was very big. And then, we touched on like, you know, the US, Europe, which we did think of Europe, but the language thing was just a very big one for us with Europe. And the normal places, I think, that you usually will hear South Africans talk about, I want to move to Australia, I want to move to New Zealand, and all of that stuff. So is there something else that you think we needed to cover? Why we moved to Canada? I think we covered everything.
Maybe. So what Makosa Zana is saying on the MBA, I wanted to add that, you know, people want to do all their professional, let's say, qualifications. Is it like your EXA? So those, you know, it's good preparation for you, but I think maybe we need to have another session where we can explain based on our personal experience how.
Yeah, I think if you've already started getting a certain certification, by all means, go ahead, finish it, complete it. But in the grander scheme of things, if you're thinking you want to move and it's a long-term thing that you want to do, it just makes more sense to do those studies here.
When you're here.
Yeah, do those studies here. Like even we're going to be making a video where I'm basically going to be asking him questions on behalf of you guys who are like in the engineering side of things and you want to know what that is going to look like if you're an engineer and you move this side. Maybe you had your PR registration, so you're a professional, you're a registered professional engineer in South Africa. What does it mean here in Canada? Because it's very different to other parts of the world. And we'll just delve more into that on that video. Yeah, like I think this has been a really awesome conversation. Bubble
Joy, after you got your PR, how long?
Bubble Joy, after you got your PR, how long did they give you to enter? So we had to enter, it was within, was it a year? It was a year.
It wasn't. So it wasn't? We got it in October and then we had to be here.
Oh, by June, July. Okay, so maybe it's 6 months. Yeah, I think it's 6 months. Yeah, around 6 months-ish. I can't remember the exact, because I think we got it in October, and then our deadline for entry was like June or July, somewhere mid-year. It was mid-year. And that's where we're like, it came much, 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 much sooner than we had initially anticipated it would come. So it's around 6 months. Good night, Buleng. Good night. Thank you, everybody, for joining. I think this is where we are going to cut it. Hi, Boosie. How was it easy for you to find a daycare for your second son after your arrival? So I'd say no, yes and no. No, because a lot of places would say like they were full, right? But
and
when
they had this waiting list,
and they had waiting lists, so it's a no and a yes, because it also didn't end up taking super super long. But I'm definitely gonna be making a video to go into more details on this one. And just share.
It was a week, one
share
week.
More. It wasn't long, so it's like we went to a lot of places to try and find him a daycare, and a lot of places were like full. And you actually spoke to someone,
yeah,
who was like, "Hey, try."
I met someone at the bus stop.
Yeah, taking our oldest to catch the bus for school, and then somebody recommended another place that usually has more capacity because their facility is bigger. But we didn't know about the facility, and it's kids and company.
Yeah.
Kids and Company, yeah. So I think if you look up Kids and Company, they have branches like all over Canada. I think even in the US.
The States, yeah.
Yeah, even in the US. So they are they are so amazing. Like, I loved Kids and Company. But I'll definitely make a video speaking particularly to that for all the parents who have kids and want to know how that looks like. Okay, so I think this is going to be the last question because we've been speaking for an hour, but I could like go on for like days and days. So, Busi, please touch on schooling in Oakville if you can. Thank you for the great show. Oh, thank you for watching. Like, you've been here since we started the conversation. Schooling in Oakville.
There's a lot of schools. That's what I noticed
with
Canada in general. There's a huge number of schools. Like, each community, there will be.
I spoke about. I remember. I when I was going. So the video where I'm doing a tour of Oakville, I stop at one of the high schools and then I give stats. Like, at the time, I could remember the numbers off the top of my head. I think they have 26 elementary schools here in Oakville, and four or five or six maybe. I can't remember.
Yeah, there's not as many high
schools. Yeah, high schools are not as many as the younger schools. Grades, the elementary schools.
But there's a lot of schools.
I'd say in Oakville, you are not going to be, I feel like even saying 10 minutes is very long.
Yeah, you hardly drive 5 minutes.
You hardly drive 5 minutes to get to school, because our kids had to change. So our oldest was in a different school when we stayed. We still stayed in Oakville, but in a different area to where we stay now.
Yeah.
And then he had to change schools, and then now they both go to school. So our youngest is in kindergarten. But with both places, the school was literally within like a 5 minute drive. You can even walk to school. Like, if in the summertime, if you really wanted to, you could walk to school. But I'm just not sure exactly what you want. Want us to touch on the schooling system, but there's a lot of schools within the vicinity, and so elementary and high school. So you're saying, sorry, high school specifically. So there's six high schools in Oakville. So there's quite a number of high schools, and I know one person who's mentioned they have a kid in high school. Yes, and they were from Turkey. Pretty great system, pretty great schooling system, honestly. Great schooling system. Yeah, I think I'm gonna keep taking video. You wanna take more questions, maybe like three more.
Okay, let's take four more and then go.
Four more and then we go. So Makosa Zana says, please do a video concerning the type of accommodation in Oakville. It's been said accommodation is expensive, but I would like to know options in Canada. Yeah, definitely. Like, I really wanna do videos where I will show, so instead of just me sitting and talking about an apartment, because you could just go Remax, there's Remax here as well. You can search for different types of accommodations on Remax as an example, and you get to see prices at a high level. And that's what I would suggest, that if you're looking in Ontario, search for go to Remax in Canada and search for places here particularly. But what I would like to do is like go to what a basement, for example, looks like. Like, we didn't know what a basement looked like when we came to Canada, but you know, you could rent a basement. We can show you at apartments, houses, but right now it's like lockdown. We can't really do any of those things and show you the videos. So for now, I would say the best thing I would recommend is that just check out websites like Remax, websites like Kijiji. Kijiji is also a good website to look for accommodation, and it's kijiji.ca. And then you'd be able on that platform, Kijiji, you can find landlords directly. So somebody who owns the house, they can directly be advertising their own place and not going through an agency like Remax, the likes of Remax and so on.
Yeah, and just to add on that, I've had people even, you know, within Canada say, oh, you stay in Oakville, that must be expensive. It's not entirely true.
Yes, like I always hear people being like, yeah, Oakville is like super expensive. And I'm like, guys, like if you compare some of these places, maybe there's $100, $200 difference in the places. And like, is it really like,
It's that you get some people who stay in Mississauga who are paying more than we pay, but they somehow have this belief that Oakville is more expensive.
So check Dikeledi's comment. So Dikeledi said, I said, but national diploma because I tried agent and they said they want masters. Like, where did they get that? Stay away from agents because, you know, there might be cases where...
Based on our personal experience...
Some of these people don't know what they're doing.
So this is what happened with us, right? And, you know, this is sad because... You pay money to these people, right? You're expecting a certain service. And when you don't get it, they don't give your money back, which is not okay. Stay away from agents. I'm going to say it. Stay away from agents.
If
you go to the government website, they actually specify there that using an agent does not help your case with anything.
And I highlighted
So what this, everything is on the Government of Canada website, everything you need to know. In our case, our agent, the person who was supposed to be our case manager, you know, that was a high school graduate. Mm-hmm. It was someone who had just completed high school.
Because we were just like, how is it possible?
It got to a point where I was wanting to sue them, you know, because, you know, they were just not doing anything. That's when I got to find out that the guy that was our case manager, it was just someone who was fresh out of high school.
And they're just reporting under
someone who's a lawyer. Allegedly a lawyer or some shit.
I love the word allegedly.
No, like, it's crazy, but please, because that's the...
And this is the part where
they end up saying things that...
are not true. Yeah,
that master's part is not true.
It's not true. It's not true. Like, why are they saying, like, if you could ask, like, why a master's? I don't have a master's.
Chances are the person who's doing that, they have no idea. They're taking instructions from somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, do your own research. Go to the canada.ca and do your own research.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's personal. You know, I lost
money.
Lost money.
We don't want you guys to lose money. So it's like, save your money, do your own research. Like, and I on the video where I speak about agencies and I say to use an agency or not, it's one of those things where I'm like, maybe there might be like super extreme cases where it somehow makes sense for someone to use an agent. I don't know what that case would look like. You know your situation much better, but the main thing we're trying to say is don't just default to going to an agency because you're not doing your due diligence and searching for information to try and find if something makes sense or not.
Okay, what's that?
So Marks are saying, thanks for sharing your experience. You are most welcome. We said 4 questions and now we're still carrying on. Like, we don't want to leave. Okay.
I think we're going to take the last by Marcus Susan, and then that's it.
That's it, yeah. So what was the most... Tasneem, I hope I'm saying your name correctly again. So what was the most difficult part of moving? What was the most difficult part? I think leaving family behind for me, like that was the most difficult part. Cause like even my kids, like my kids were so close with their grandparents. Like, oh my gosh, like they were like best buddies with their grandparents. So I think it's just leaving family, friends, that was the hardest part. Like, yeah, just having all of the goodbyes farewells.
Yeah, I guess for you it was that. I'm from KZN, so
you hardly saw people.
I hardly saw my family. You know, the same way I speak to my family now is the same way when I was in Joburg. So for me, it's the same. I'm just
Further away. It's not like now you can drive for 4 hours and you're in KZN. For me it was like, you know, weekends, even during the week I could drive to my parents' house randomly and just go chill with my mom. I could go see a friend or somebody comes to me. Like, for me, I think that was the biggest and most difficult part with moving. Like, anything else?
You know, my friends, they're all over. Cape Town, Joburg. No. So they were in Cape Town.
Tami Mazlaka's all over.
Witbank. So, honestly, for me,
been staying in all these places.
Yeah. But nothing has really changed, you know.
Yeah.
It's junior high. So it's elementary. We have elementary and high school.
They do mention junior high as well. Like the grade 8s and I think grade 9 is considered junior high. So yes, we do love more.
There is another one by Tasney.
So you said neither of you were working. So how did you come up with the proof of funds? We were working in South Africa.
Yeah.
We moved. When we moved, we didn't have work in Canada. Like, we moved with no work in Canada, but we left our jobs. We both resigned when we received the confirmation of permanent residency here. So when we received that and we had a deadline to move, that's when we left our jobs. So we were working in South Africa. Tami and Busi, is it wise to carry cash when moving to Canada? Yeah, why not? Like, I'd say why not, but like, I don't think you need it.
No. What do you mean? You don't need cash.
You don't need it. Like, I mean, you could carry it. The reason why I say you could is because using your South African cards can be challenging. So if you can like convert your rands to Canadian dollars and you come with dollars,
do that.
It's a good move because there's places where we try to use our cards. I mean, you've activated your card with your bank, but there were challenges in some places where you just would struggle to be able to use our card. So it became very important for us to also sort out local bank accounts very, very quickly. So that's where I'm like, typically, you shouldn't have to need cash because you can use your card anyway. But we had problems with our cards from South Africa, and we were banking with FNB.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like they would say that with cards from Africa in general, there's certain places for like renting a car.
For those that are moving to Canada soon, just make sure even after getting confirmation from your bank, we banked with FNB. We told them when we were about to leave. When we got here, we needed to use the cards.
It wasn't
working. And we were told that it's a common thing with cards from Africa.
From Africa.
Even if your bank has activated.
So the one thing that they had to do with a place we were renting the car was swipe the card. So you know, if you have to put the card in and then you enter the PIN, that wasn't working.
Yeah.
But now for them to do the swiping thing, because the swiping, you don't have to enter any details and it's a pretty large amount and they wouldn't want to use somebody else's card. And then now they're saying, how did you allow this to happen? Why didn't you request PIN? But it ended up having to be approved by the manager. And the manager was somebody who was aware of the problems that the cards from South Africa, not South Africa specifically, but apparently Africa, that you can have a Visa card or a MasterCard, but for some reason, it's just like, I don't know, there's a problem with it. So I'd say yes. Like, it's like you shouldn't have to need cash, but I think it's just safer. Just, you know, convert the money to Canadian dollars. There are places that take US dollars, but like, why convert to US dollars? Just Canadian dollars, and you should be fine. Oh, thank you, Makosa Zana. I love you guys too. Like, I'm enjoying myself right now. I could talk to you guys all day. Marks, there is a limit in the amount of cash you can carry in most countries. Yes. So check what the limits are. I think it's $10,000 in cash.
Sean has mentioned
that. I'd advise. It's $10,000.
Yeah.
Travelers check or get one of those international cards. Ooh, what international cards are these? Can you give more info?
I think it's those, like, I know FNB, we had...
Oh, the cash passports. The cash passports. I've had a cash passport.
I know we've used it in the States. Yeah. We've used it in Europe.
Or was it the US? Okay. Yeah, maybe that's also a safer thing. Because it's one of those things, as Sean is saying here, it's 10,000, right? But do you really want to travel with $10,000 in... your cash, person cash, like what if it gets lost? So definitely the cards the international cards that Marx is mentioning, do research on that. I remember we had a cash passport for somewhere, and it makes life so much easier. Yeah, so true. I think that's going to be the end of the conversation today. I've had such an awesome time. Thank you guys for engaging with us, having a conversation. I really love the fact that it was conversational, but this was awesome. This was awesome. So Mark says post office and some banks offer those cards. So yeah, you see, so check those options out. Go and ask them what your options are. And if you don't have to carry cash, like, don't carry cash if you don't, especially like 10,000 is a lot. Like, if anything happens to it, it's such a lot of money. So yeah, like, just have cash, but maybe, you know, not huge chunks of it. Yeah, you are welcome. You are welcome.
All right. Thank you guys. Have a great one.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to the Self-Care with Boosie podcast. My name is Boosie. Thank you for listening.